us all as we listen to your word to be struck by what it's saying to us, so that we may love you and serve you as a result. Amen. Well, I want a little bit of involvement from you guys during our talk in talking with each other and answering some questions. Children to parents, as well as adults to adults, all get involved, please. So first of all, what do you like waiting for? Why don't you tell the person next to you what you like waiting for? Okay, let's see what we come up with. Go on then, hands up. What do you like waiting for? Yep. Waiting for mummy. Waiting for mummy. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? In fact, she's out and you're waiting for her to come home. Great idea. Right at the back. Waiting for writing because you love writing so much. I love that answer because I'm a teacher. Well done. Love. Brownie points at the back. Yeah, go on then. Chocolate. Waiting. You know, somebody's going to be giving you chocolate and bringing you chocolate. Great idea. Yep. Waiting to get the kids out of the way. Yeah, maybe. Okay, perhaps they also like it when you go out. I don't know. Perhaps that's the case. Here are some of my ideas. The obvious one, love waiting for Christmas. Absolutely love waiting for Christmas and all the excitement that goes with it. Perhaps you're also waiting for your team to win the league, to win the cup. Perhaps if you're a bit younger, you're waiting to be able to go into town on your own with your mate shopping. Perhaps you're waiting for that day to arrive. Or perhaps you've booked your holiday for next year already and you're already waiting to get there. We love waiting for good things to happen, don't we? But actually, the best thing about waiting is when we don't have to wait anymore. When what we've been waiting for actually happens. So when you creep downstairs on Christmas Day and actually find your presents, it is far more exciting than just waiting for them. When Preston actually win the league, will be far better than just waiting for it, won't it? When you finally get that chance to go shopping in town with your mates, will be far better than waiting for it and seeing your older sister do it, won't it? And when you eventually arrive at that beautiful holiday destination, it's far better than just waiting around for months and months and waiting at the airport and waiting for your luggage. It's far better once you're there, isn't it? Well, the Jewish people throughout the whole of the Old Testament had been waiting too. But they'd been waiting far, far longer than any of us have. They'd been waiting for generations, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You see, God had made many promises to them. They'd been told so much by God through the prophets, through the judges and through the kings. And yet, this was still all the build-up. It was still all the signs and the pointers, but not the actual thing. And then had come kind of 400 years of effectively silence from God, and they were still waiting. Waiting for all of God's promises to come true, to actually happen. And in particular, waiting for God's promised one, the Christ, to come. The one who would bring salvation, who would save them. But perhaps by the time we get to the period of time that our Bible reading was set in, perhaps some had forgotten that they were waiting. Perhaps they were pretty happy with the here and now. I mean, they had lots of rules that they thought would get them closer to God. They had lots of ceremonies and rituals that made them feel closer to God. Perhaps they had given up on waiting for God and his promises to come true. But there were still a few who were still waiting, who were still excited by the thought of God's promises actually coming true. And one of them was this guy Simeon that we heard about in our reading. And we're going to see that Simeon realized that the waiting was over, that God's salvation had come. And that's our first heading today. The wait is over. Salvation has come. So far in his book, Luke has already told us about the birth of Jesus and about how the shepherds, those first visitors, have come to and been told to go to see the baby by the angel. And we saw a little bit of that in the children's presentation, didn't we? And then in verses 21 to 24 of chapter 2, we've heard how, as obedient parents, Joseph and Mary have named him and now brought him to the temple in Jerusalem to carry out what God's law said. And so we're going to pick up the story at verse 25. So if you grab those little service sheets, children, make sure your parents are looking at them and make sure you're looking at them too. Okay, so verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. That means that he was a godly and holy man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That just means the time when God was going to come and save his people. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so Simeon's waiting, isn't he? Waiting for what God had promised to the people of the Old Testament and to him personally. He's waiting for God's Christ, God's promised one, to come. And then on this particular day, verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. You see, this isn't just coincidence. This is God at work. It's his promises that are coming true that are going to happen. He is the one working to bring about this meeting through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned three times in these few verses. God is bringing Simeon to the temple so that his wait will finally be over. So, second half of verse 27, Callum, if you want to come and join me. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace.
For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
Thanks, Callum. And in verse 33, the child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. So I wonder who can help me to understand these verses. Again, I want you to talk to the people next to you, and the words are on the screen or you've got them on your sheet. So first question, look at verse 28. What's Simeon's first reaction? Tell the person next to you. What's Simeon's first reaction? Okay, who can tell me? Who can tell me? What's Simeon's first reaction? Daniel. He praised God, didn't he? He praised God. And he praised God because in verse 29, it tells us that God had kept his promise. God had made happen what he said would happen. Simeon had lived to see Jesus, the Lord's Christ, God's promised one, arrive, just like the Holy Spirit had revealed to him would happen. Okay, second question. Look down at verse 30. Tell the person next to you. What does Simeon say he's now seen? What does Simeon say he's now seen? Tell the person next to you. Go on, who's going to tell me the answer to that one? I'm hearing something from Jaden. I'm not sure if he's going to be right. AJ. Rescue, salvation, your salvation, God's salvation, it said, didn't it? In this little baby Jesus, Simeon is telling us that he has seen the one who is going to be God's saviour, the one who will bring about the Lord's salvation. Okay, next question. Look at verse 32. Who is this salvation for? Tell the person next to you, who is this salvation for? Okay, who can help me with the answer there then? Who can help me with the answer? Yeah, go on then. Everybody, because it says Gentiles and your people Israel, doesn't it? Okay, so it's both Gentiles and the Israelites. You see, See, God's salvation is for everyone. It's not just for the Israelites, the Jewish people, but it's also for the Gentiles, all of those who are not Jewish. And that means that it covers everybody in the whole world. All can come to be saved. And that includes all of us here in Preston, even 2,000 years later, doesn't it? And the last question on this little section, tell the person next to you, what's Joseph and Mary's reaction when they hear this? Tell your partner. Okay, and who can help me with the answer? What's Mary and Joseph's reaction when they hear this? Who's got a hand that's going to go in the air for me? Who's got a hand? Josh. They marvelled, didn't they? They were absolutely amazed. Despite being told a similar message by God's angel when Mary had become pregnant, they marvelled at what they heard. This was truly quite amazing news. Jesus was God's promised one who had arrived. God's salvation was now here. And this word salvation means to save or to rescue. And it's something that the Bible makes clear that we all need. The problem is, though, that we often don't realise that we need saving. Life's good. Well, most of the time, isn't it? I can get all I want if I've got enough money. And I can get it instantly, especially with the internet now. But we need to see that we do need God to save us. Because we're in big trouble with him. We're guilty. The Bible says that we're guilty of ignoring him. Guilty of disobeying what he says. Guilty of living our lives for ourselves. For me. Instead of for God, the one who made us. We've mucked up. We've not treated him as we should. It's what the Bible calls sin. And it's our biggest problem. Because it means that we deserve God's punishment. And this wouldn't just be a little slap over the wrist. Oh no. What we deserve for our sin is to be separated from God forever when we die. In the worst place imaginable. The place that the Bible calls hell. Where there's no goodness, no love, no enjoyment ever. A truly awful place. And Simeon knew this. That's why he's waiting so expectantly for God's Christ to come. Because he knew that the Christ would be the one who would bring God's salvation. The one who would come to save people from their big problem of sin. And I wonder whether we all know this. Whether we all see that we are guilty before God. And that there is nothing that we can do about it ourselves. Whether we see that we need to be saved, that we need the Lord's salvation, that we need his Christ, Jesus, to save us. And yet, as Simeon stands there proclaiming these amazing truths, he's holding Jesus, this little tiny baby. So how can this little baby be our saviour? How does that work? And we're going to find out in our second section. But we're going to look at that after we've sung our next song. So we can have the music group come up. And we're going to say a great song that picks up on this idea of waiting. Waiting for King Jesus to come. So let's stand to sing together. God's chosen King. Let's stand together. Great. Do take seats. And if Callum, let me come again, and if you grab your service sheets to look again at that passage we're looking at, we're going to be starting at verse 34, and reading 34 and 35, so have that in front of you so that you can see. Verse 34 says this, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother,
'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'"
Great, thanks Callum. Simeon says that it's supposed to be a blessing, but it doesn't sound much like it, does it? For this Christ, this Jesus, is going to divide people. But it is a blessing, because there is good news. Because those who come to him will be saved. And that's our second heaven. Jesus divides, but come to him to be saved. So let's see if you can help me again. So tell your person who's sitting next to you. Verse 34, what is Jesus going to cause? What is Jesus going to cause? Tell the person next to you. What's Jesus going to cause? Okay, who can help me with the answer? Yep. The fall and arise of many, yeah. You see, although this salvation is on offer to everyone, and many will rise and accept it and be saved, so too there will be many who will fall and not accept it. Not everybody will be on the side of God's Christ. Not everyone will be happy about Jesus coming. There will be opposition and conflict. Jesus will divide people. Okay, tell your partner again, tell the person next to you. What will Jesus reveal? Look at the start of verse 35. What will Jesus reveal? Tell the person next to you. Okay, go ahead. I can see some hands at the back, so I'm going right at the back. Yes. The thoughts of many hearts. Yeah, that's right. You see, it's saying that as people speak out against Jesus, who is God's sign, their hearts will be revealed. It will show them up as people who don't want God's Christ, that they don't want Jesus as their saviour. But that means that they will still be guilty of their own sin before God. They will have to face God's punishment still. They won't be safe from it, and they will be punished by God. And lots of people that we meet in the rest of Luke's gospel were sadly like this. They didn't want Jesus. They didn't see who he was and didn't think that they needed him. They ignored him and rejected him. They didn't think they needed saving. They even asked for signs from heaven so that they would believe. But they completely failed to see the sign right in front of their face of God becoming man in the form of Jesus. Jesus was a sign from God that salvation had arrived. But people spoke against him, just as Simeon said they would. And a final question for today for you guys to talk about. How will this affect Mary? Look at the end of verse 35. How will this affect Mary? Tell the person next to you. Okay, and who can help me with the answer? Aidan, yeah? Yeah, not quite at the end of verse 35. How will it affect her? Who can help me? Who can help me? Yeah? It will pierce her own soul too, it says at the end, doesn't it? In the end, 30 or so years later, after Jesus' birth, these words did come true too. Because some of those same people who had spoken against Jesus ended up organising for him to be killed on a cross. And Mary saw it happen. She ended up watching her own son die. What an awful thing for her to have to go through. It surely did pierce right through her, didn't it? And yet the amazing news of Christianity is that that's how Jesus can save us. As the rest of the New Testament makes clear, Jesus' death on the cross is actually for us. He died to take the punishment for our sin. So if we come to him to be saved, if we trust him, then our sin has been punished because Jesus has taken that punishment. There's no longer any punishment left. And so we're saved from going to hell. And instead we're given the gift of living forever with Jesus in that perfect place. Life in a perfect place where there is always love, always goodness, and always enjoyment with our God and our Saviour Jesus. But this is only for those who see that the wait is over, see that God's Saviour has come, and who come to him to be saved. That's the people that Simeon says will rise in verse 34. They will be saved by God and welcomed into his perfect place. So how will we react? Will we be those who see Jesus as God's promised one, as the one who can save us from our sin? And will we come to him to be saved? Or will we be those who reject him and so are punished? If you're not yet convinced of who Jesus is, then can I encourage you to look into the facts about him? To look at Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Why didn't you take a copy of Luke's Gospel? There's some on the table at the back. Have a read of an account of Jesus' life. Or why don't you come along to the Life Explored course that we're putting on in the new year? Or if you're a little bit younger and your parents are Christians, why don't you ask them about how amazing Jesus is and how important it is that he saves you? Or you could ask your junior church leaders as well, couldn't you? As Simeon saw Jesus, even as this tiny baby, he knew that he was the one who had been promised by God from long ago, that the waiting was over, that Jesus was God's salvation come to earth, and that he had to come to Jesus to be saved, just like you and I do. So why don't we? This Christmas time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please help us to see who Jesus is. Thank you please help us to be excited that the wait is over and that we can now know Jesus and be saved by him. Please keep us trusting if we already know and love you. And please enable us to trust you if we don't yet know you. I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.